punch up on you.
Talent is only worth 15 to 20 million. I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, serving Philadelphia, southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio. However, you can tune in from anywhere on the internet simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Well, we have a lot of things to discuss today. And of course, if you have Alexa in your house, you can say Alexa 860 AM radio, and we will certainly be able to hear from you, and you'll be able to hear from us. I'd like to ask that you let family and friends know if you receive that email today. Give them a buzz, let them know that they can tune in if they live in our tri-state area, or invite them to tune in by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. First of all, I want to compliment our panel members who do an unbelievable job on the broadcast. Many of the people, I was out at the coffee shop today, many of the people are waiting for 11 o'clock to give their nerves a break from all the negative news and hear some different kind of news here on our broadcast, news that promotes Americans and American workers. That's the most important thing people are having on their mind at this time. Thanks to our panel members, Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, national small business advocate, Rich Logis, principal of RJL Technology Integration, and of course, Curtis Ellis of the American First Project. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I am Michael Blihash. Well, as we gather today for this Wednesday, August the 19th broadcast, I'd like to ask our panel members to focus a little bit on the greatness of America. I know that you have a lot of things that you want to put out there, and of course, it's open forum today, so do your thing. Our mission, however, on this radio broadcast tries to bring people together to let them know that we are here, and at least we're one broadcast trying to make a difference. When you look at the news media and what they have to say, it seems that our life is, you know, ended. The sky is falling on us. We're just about, you know, ready to pull in the carpets. Unfortunately, they tell us all the bad news, but unfortunately, they do not tell us the good news. They don't offer suggestions on ways we can support American workers. They don't tell us about living a great life, having a job, education, and prosperity for all Americans to the best of our ability. None of that's being discussed. It's negative, negative, negative. And that's what's been happening in the United States. And believe it or not, most people, when you speak to them, are now beginning to have those ideas. The sky is falling on us. We're in great peril. The rest of the world has taken us over. They're watching us. They're, you know, doing everything to us. It's really a shame. I'm disappointed personally in the national news media and also to America's national elected leaders for not making American workers the most important thing on their minds, something they should be focusing on. I don't understand why. They want to tax us to death. They want to tell us how they want to give everything away free of charge, but no talk about living a life, getting a good education, having a job skill, all for the well-being of an individual, their families, and their neighbors and friends. None of that's being discussed. Today, I know we have a gentleman who has a lot to say, and of course, that is our very own Curtis Ellis. And I'd like to say, Curtis, thank you for all the great emails that you're sending around. It certainly is appreciated. They tell a story. They inform people. And that's what it's really all about. That you're telling people in your brief emails more than we can hear in a one-hour show on some of the television shows. When they start working out on each other anymore, it's almost you want to run for your life. I haven't watched a lot of the convention and some of the other pre-convention stories that they had on interviewing this one and that one last week. I tried to avoid as much of it as I can. I did watch the special newscap that they had at 10 o'clock to see what was really happening. But it was not. I'm going to let Curtis tell us what's on his mind. Curtis, tell us everything.
Well, there hasn't been much going on lately. You haven't missed anything by not watching the news there, Michael. There's been really nothing happening.
The sky hasn't fallen yet.
The sky hasn't fallen yet.
And we're still here, and our supporters are our supporters, and all our supporters want to do, Curtis, is tell us that they want to live life, they want to get back to normal, they want to know why the coronavirus was not able to be addressed. Here we are over 5 months into this and it still hasn't been addressed properly. Masks and all are wonderful, but what's the bottom line?
The bottom line is, if you look at the coronavirus, we have to constantly be reminded that it exists. If you're under 80 years old and don't have pre-existing conditions, 997 people out of 1,000 recover from this. If you look at the numbers coming in from Florida and Arizona and Texas, you see that the numbers of cases are declining. And cases, what they define as a case is somebody who tests positive. That doesn't mean these people have even been hospitalized. And if you look at the hospitalization rates in those states, which we were told incessantly were surging and that there's a crisis coming, the hospitalization rate remained flat even as the case counts went up. So it is not wishful thinking, and there's a good bit of evidence to suggest that we are past the peak of this. The Sun Belt states that we were told to freak out about are certainly past the peak. The case rates are declining, death rates declining, numbers of deaths declining, absolute number of cases declining, and throughout the whole thing, even throughout the month of June and July, when we were supposedly seeing this surge and spike and everything else, the hospitalization rates remained flat. No hospital was overwhelmed. And so the fact of the matter is, you look at states like Texas and Florida and Arizona, their cases per capita and death rate per capita were far lower than New York State, which really saw the worst of this. So as far as COVID goes, I think when all the numbers are tallied, you're going to find that the deaths and death and destruction and problems that emerged from the economic lockdown, the bizarre strategy of quarantining healthy people rather than quarantining sick people, but quarantining healthy people, quarantining the entire society, the fallout from that could well be worse and more damaging than the fallout from the virus itself. So we could well have a case of what the president said back in April, of the cure being worse than the disease. So we'll see that. Meanwhile, that's all the Democratic Convention had this very sad, is really turning into a sad telethon. They devoted the first night to, it looked like, all of the worst corporate image commercials that emerged during the pandemic of those pictures of we're in this together, and you see people wearing masks and people like talking to each other through glass and dancing healthcare workers in their gowns and smocks and hats and gloves and masks, and we're all in this together, and it's supposed to make us feel good or something. Or actually, what it was doing was normalizing the pandemic chaos. And they strung that together for 2 hours. That was the Democratic Convention on Monday. They strung together all of these images and Madison Avenue's worst attempts at playing on our emotions.
Well, you know, Curtis, I'll be honest. From what I saw, I was disappointed, and I hope I will not be disappointed in the next convention. I was disappointed because I heard nothing about what we're going to do to get our businesses back after the pandemic, what we're going to do to strengthen American workers in their positions. I heard nothing. It's all backstabbing and slapping of faces and things like that. It's unnecessary. I'd like to listen to what positive things you have to tell me that I can say, wow, that's a great suggestion. We have to do that.
Well, that's exactly a great observation. That what I noticed was it was pretty much policy free. They did not tell you what they were going to do for you. How are you going to make my life better? That's the way politicians used to work, is even if it was lies, at least they would try to tell you, this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to get you a raise. I'm going to make sure that you're not exposed to poison gases at your workplace. I'm going to put you to work. I'm going to cut your taxes. I'm going to give you something that will help your family. None of that. I'm going to fix the potholes in the road. None of that. This was all, 90% of it was just bashing President Trump as like a horrible human being and, you know, threat to democracy and incompetent and blah, blah, blah. It made me think, there's this great writer who wrote a book back in 1985, Amusing Ourselves to Death. His name is Neil Postman, and I suggest everybody, if you're interested in this kind of thing, get a hold of the book. It's very well written. He's a very clever writer. He's no longer with us. He was a media professor, a professor of media studies at New York University. And he did a very cogent analysis of the media landscape and the effect that media has on our thinking and on society. And what he basically said, encapsulated in the title, we are amusing ourselves to death. Television has turned everything into an entertainment medium. That is the paradigm. It's an entertainment discourse. And his gripe with television is not that it brought entertainment into the home. What television does best is bringing entertainment. The sitcoms and the variety shows and the dramas and the what have you, that's fine. But what it does is it turns everything into that. Television's attempt to address serious topics debased the topics and debased the conversation. And this is what we saw with the Democratic Convention on Monday and last night too, as well, is it was a series of disconnected appeals to emotion. It was images and emotions, and they had these singers singing these plaintive songs with their guitars, and they had the strung together music videos, and I'm ready to order the soundtrack from the Monday night Democratic National Convention. And they had these montages like TV commercials. There was no serious discussion. There was, it seems we have become incapable of formulating a logical argument. Here's the argument. Here's the evidence supporting it. This is why it's a good idea. Here's the evidence to support why it would work. There was none of that. It was all an appeal to emotion. And this is something the Democrats have been accused of repeatedly. I don't think they're the only ones who do this, but it just is it's sharper contrast and easier to see that it's all about feelings and emotion. I feel bad about that kid who didn't get a good education, so let's throw some more money at the school. I feel bad about income inequality, so let's give everybody a check for $1,000 a day. I feel, oh, it's just terrible that little Bobby didn't have a water pistol to play with, so let's give everybody water pistols to play with. I feel terrible that little Bobby got shot after playing with his water pistol because it was mistaken for a gun, so let's defund the police. You know, I mean, it's like all like reaction off emotion. There is no logical thinking.
You know, and Curtis, you're absolutely right. The thing that I do not understand is why these people would come, and I hope that the Republicans are not going to do the same thing this coming week, try to degrade the next candidate. I hope they won't waste their time. What I want to see, the person running for the top office in the country and all the people in the states running to get our votes, is tell us how they're going to reduce the cost of doing business in America and make that their top priority. I would like them to say how we're going to get companies to move back from overseas. That's our main priority. I'm going to make sure that the products that were invented here in the United States of America, that were made here for 50, 70, and 100 years, will be returned to America's shores and made here once again, so that we could see labels that say made in the USA. It had to take a pandemic to get a lot of people to think a little closer about what's going on in this country, what's going to be my future, how am I going to survive all this. It took a pandemic to do this. However, now that the pandemic is upon us, and hopefully it'll be ended soon, why aren't the people who we're electing to send them to Washington, all 535 of them and the presidential candidate, talking about how are we going to make people independent, not dependent, independent? Does anybody on listening to our show today say, oh my God, I hope tomorrow morning I'll wake up and I'll be dependent on government? Oh my Lord. I hope it's the line to the welfare office or the phones will be not busy when I call, because I want to be dependent on government. I don't know anybody like that. And quite frankly, I don't want to know them. Too much bad news takes away the news of the accomplishments of the American people for many, many, many years. We're watching, and by the way, for 30 years, there are people now celebrating that their products have been made in China for the last 18 to 20 years. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Let's all clap. Yay!
Yay!
Made in China. They were invented in America, and they were made in America for 30, 40 years, and now they're in China. Look at the labels on a lot of your stuff. No, these people didn't talk about that yesterday, and I hope, Curtis, if you know anybody, make sure you let them know. I'll criticize the hell out of them too next week if they do this. This is a waste of time, airtime, commercial time, whatever. It's a total waste of time not to be talking about the United States of America, its people, its taxpayers, its youth. They talk about disrespect is the main thing. Disrespect the taxpayer, disrespect the worker, disrespect the teachers, disrespect the police. Why is that? Let's turn to for a minute to Mr. Rich Logis. Rich, I'm sure you have something to say on these subjects.
Curtis, good morning, Michael. Curtis, welcome back. And Larkin, Mark, our listeners out there. You know, Michael, I tell you, I'm just going to do a quick recap, if I may, on everything we've heard the last couple days and everything that we're going to hear tonight and everything we're going to hear tomorrow. Trump made a man eat fish tank cleaner and died. Trump told Americans inject themselves with Lysol. Trump told Americans, drink Clorox. We're all going to die from the GOP. The GOP wants grandma and grandpa dead. Trump called all Mexicans rapists. Trump hates Jews. Trump hates blacks. GOP suppresses black voters, white supremacists, film clubs in every community that play on repeat, The Birth of a Nation. Trump hates women. Trump hates immigrants. Trump hates gays. Pence hates gays. Muslim ban. Trump is misogynistic. Trump is xenophobic. Statues of Confederate generals are racist. Stormy Daniels. The GOP is the political party of old rich white men. GOP oppresses black voters. Trump Mock the Handicap Reporter, Grab Him by the Blank, Jingoistic Trump, David Duke, Hillary Clinton is the president, Russia installed Manchurian candidate, Nazis are very fine people, fascist, authoritarian, invoke the 25th Amendment, where are the tax returns, kids in cages, Merrick Garland, Moscow Mitch, abortion is health care, looters are peaceful protesters, the wall is a medieval vanity project, abolish the Electoral College, the Constitution is old and antiquated, no human is illegal, impeached forever, red states leech off blue states, not my president, Obama is still my president, Obama was scandal-free, Obama is better looking than Trump, Obama is more elegant than Trump, Obama is more sagacious than Trump, Trump is fat, Trump's a white nationalist, Second Amendment is for turkey hunting, America's never had real socialism, Cheeto man, Trump said COVID was a hoax, vast right-wing conspiracy, Fox is Trump, state-run media, mainstream media is right-wing, vote by mail, vote blue no matter who, and last but not least, to repeat, the GOP is diabolical, and everyone will die.
Rich.
Congratulations, that was great.
My God, Rich, you really did pay attention.
I think, Curtis, I covered everything.
You know,
I think so.
Well, but you know what I didn't hear in that? What are they saying they're going to do to make business come back
to
America?
We have to give credit. We have to give credit where credit is due. The Democrats and the D-Mike Democrat media industrial complex never stray from their narratives, ever, Curtis. They move in a singular direction, unified toward a singular goal, to protect and elect Democrats, no exceptions.
But, Rich, I understand. Rich, you're. I understand, and I'm
sure. Michael, wait, nobody votes. Well, I should say nobody. Man, we do, like four of us. People, voters, Americans, don't vote based on what's accurate or inaccurate. They vote based on what is believed. So what you're hearing, Curtis, to quote Yogi Berra, is deja vu all over again. So what we hear now, it's like we got in a time machine and we went back to 2015 and 2016 and we're hearing all the same regurgitated, debunked narratives over and over and over again. And I'm going to, as a forewarning, Michael, to voters, including our swing voters, like our audio engineer, he's a swing voter in a swing state. We're going to earn his vote coming up for Election Day.
How many days is it away, Rich?
Yeah, we're at, what are we at, Larkin, 70? Whatever it may be, we're down to I don't know, 1,600 hours to go before Election Day. The reality, Curtis, is that Joe Biden starts out with, and I've published this data before, Michael. These aren't worthless opinions. This is the data. Joe Biden starts out with 85% of the electoral votes that he needs. 85%. We start out, Larkin, at 70, and that's if we count Texas, which I don't believe should be counted as a guaranteed red state anymore. So Joe Biden, Joe Biden could sleep until noon every day, which he actually might do that anyway, but he could sleep until noon every single day and starts out with 85% of the electoral votes that he needs. So for voters out there, it's never been a starker contrast on our two philosophies, ideologies, candidates, whatever word you want to use there, Michael. You've got law and order, lawfulness, amongst many, many other topics, of course, depending on the one you like. But you've got law and order, you've got getting small business back up and running, our economy back up and running, or you have the other side, which is anarchy, terrorism in the streets. If you're a small business owner trying to get back on your feet, you're going to have another tax bill. I mean, the Dems have told us that. They've told us taxes will be increased. And so there's never been, Michael, not in American history, even more than 2016, you've got a starker contrast than you ever have before. And you know, Curtis, last point, if you went on the street and asked a regular Joe Biden voter to name achievements and results and outcomes of Trump versus Biden, they could tell you many more outcomes and results of Trump's than Biden's. They could tell you many more of Trump's than Biden's.
Yeah, and that's not the point. Their vote motivated purely by hatred of Trump.
That's right. It doesn't matter what the doesn't matter what's correct or incorrect. It matters what's believed.
Well, we've done focus groups. America First Policy's done focus groups, and with swing voters, and to a person, they all say, even those who support Biden say, he's a puppet. He's not all there. He's weak. He doesn't have all his marbles. He's a puppet. He will be used by others behind the scenes, will be pulling his strings. There may be some degree of nuances to who will be pulling his strings, whether it's the establishment or the radical left or the party bosses. But the fact remains, everybody sees him as a cipher. And the reason he was chosen as the candidate is that he can be and will be easily manipulated by others. And everybody agrees that, and even the people who will vote for him have said, I would vote for a block of ice rather than Trump. Still, at the end, the good news at the end of our focus groups is 75% of the people, even those who say they don't like Trump, there's things about him they don't like, they say they're going to vote for him because, as you said, Rich, they can point to accomplishments and point to actual outcomes that they agree with, even though they don't like his tweets and they don't like his, you know, injecting bleach, or they don't like some of his comments, or the, you know, demon seed doctor from Nigeria or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's like, who gets results?
You know, Rich, I have a question and I have a very important request of you. I went for next Wednesday's show, and in a complete observation of what you saw the Republicans do during the first 2 days of their convention. It starts on Monday, is that correct?
Yes, it is Monday.
So Monday and Tuesday you'll have a... Please give us another outline. That was simply unbelievable. And it's true.
Yeah,
and you know what I want to see? But you know what I
want to
see?
Just take that audio clip. Take what I just said. Have our great audio engineer, again, a swing voter in a swing state, going to earn his vote. When we have the recap next week of the last 2 days, Curtis, of the convention, just play that clip again. Say, oh, but didn't change.
Very interesting. You know, I didn't ever picture it that way, but now that you put it the way you did, Rich, it's unbelievable. You know what? The thing that's very important for us to do is take a look at Trump in an elected office for 40 months and take a look at Joe Biden's accomplishments in 40 plus years. And that's what I want to be discussed in the debates. I want to see what exactly has to be offered by each person. Then we'll know who's the better person to elect. It could be Joe Biden. It could be the president. Let's see the debates. I'd like to have 4 or 5 debates, as I said last week. Two or three is not enough. It should be many debates, because then we get to know the person. We know how they'll respond in the Oval Office, how they'll respond with other country leaders, how they're going to work for the good of the American people. Without the debates, it's just those one-minute clips that we see on TV, and that's really not good. Because all it does is tell a story of what they want to hear. When I saw many of the commercials lately, and I watched a little bit of the convention wrap up, I said, well, where is the information they were putting in those the advertisements for president? Where was that in the convention? I didn't see any of those people reflect what Joe Biden was talking about in his election ads. That's something we have to get after. Those debates will tell us everything. 40 months, 40 years. Let's see what each has to say about themselves. And I hope the debates will not turn into a mud fest. It'll turn into a fact fest. That's what we need. The American people need to see the facts and the figures. What has been done, what can be done, what's planned to be done. What plans do they have for the future? That's what makes a person want to go out and vote. this guy has a plan, I'll vote for him. This guy doesn't have a plan, I can't vote for him. Larkin Conley, can we turn to you for your thoughts of the day?
Certainly. Good morning, everybody. Curtis, welcome back. I had the pleasure of listening to you on a radio program out of Texas, I think. And you were being interviewed. You did a great job. I enjoyed it very much. It was fun radio and fun to listen to. I'm going to be a little bit different here this morning. Not that that doesn't happen occasionally around here, but I hate to inform you. I'm at times embarrassed to admit that I watched not 1 second of the Democratic Convention. Not 1 second. To me, had the appearance from the get-go of being a mess. And then after the first night, I spoke to a friend of mine, Bruce Bassett-Powell, you all know, was informed that it was a beauty contest of sorts. Nothing profound was said. Ocasio-Cortez got up and seconded. that just slayed me. I'm still laughing about it. Even though there's a technical side to that, you know, she got up and seconded the good senator from Vermont. I didn't watch a second of it. I really didn't. I'm pretty sure I didn't miss a thing. The proof for this election is going to be two things, as far as I can tell. One of them is going to be the vice presidential candidate's ability to keep from stepping on her own toes and saying some pretty stupid things. You know, she comes in as probably the only member of this of either tickets that not everybody knows an awful lot about. So, you know, she's carrying a large burden on this. And also the debates. Listen, folks, it's coming down to the debates. It did with Hillary. I hope somebody gets a hold of President Trump and says to him, you know, don't denigrate, don't start flinging arrows and calling people stupid and making remarks like that. Keep it clean, no punches below the belt. And I think he stands a very, very good chance of probably beating Biden, but we'll see. I instead spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to control my social emotion. You know, I'm just, when you really study what's going on in all of these cities where crime in Minneapolis is up by 59%, where they've defunded the police, crime is way up everywhere. And how this is the answer is for the American public to figure out. And if Trump hits them in the face a bunch with the tactic they've used, you know, he'll defeat them. But it's all in the debates. But I spend this time thinking about all these mothers. You know, I just don't think any mother should have to worry day in and day out about her children getting shot every time they rob a store. You know, I think we ought to pay attention to these downgraded that got no laughs, which means it fell on absolutely dead air. I saw that the other day and laughed my eyes out. There was a lady standing on a corner. No mother should have to spend her nights worrying about whether her son gets shot every time he robs a store.
Where was that, Larkin? Where was that? Where did that? Do you know where that took place?
I don't know. I can certainly show you the picture of the sign being held. No mother should concern herself every night worrying about whether her son's going to get home safely every time he robs a store.
That's a very good line. I love it.
Oh, my goodness. Larkin, I didn't see that. If you find out where that is, I'd love to see the whole background. It's unbelievable. You know, here is the thing that I don't understand in the national news media and a lot of the national elected leaders. I'm not going to say which party or whatever. You know, I believe that we are living in the most inclusive society ever in the United States of America, in American history. I feel that all the negative racial discussions that are going on are hurting the great mosaic of America that so many of us worked so hard to bring about that would unite the people. Until this policeman killed this gentleman, it was much better in America, to be quite honest. And I think that these rabble-rousers took this with defund the police and punish the police and all this and that. They went too far. And yet the politicians didn't say, wait a minute, this was a mistake of one man. One man did this. One man does not represent 330 million people. One man does not try to make sure that we're showing ourselves as being racially divided. Oh, no. This went too far, and there was nobody speaking up. Not the clergy, not the elected officials. Nobody was saying, stop the violence. Stop all this. We're having a lot of the violence also because people are on social media. A lot of the people are unemployed. They're asked to go and be at this particular corner, go to 15th and Jibip Street at 7 o'clock at night because we are going to protest this or that. They have the time, they wanna go, they wanna have some social gathering. This is what's happening. If these people had jobs, they had security, they would feel better about themselves. No one has been talking about that. The last 2 days, I asked many people, I purposely asked them if they watched any of the convention. Most people said, no, I want to watch the debates. I'm not interested in the convention. I want to see two men speaking to each other, telling us what they have to offer. And you know, I agree with that 100%. But I believe America is the most inclusive society ever in America's history. And these people are trying to divide America again in order to get the people who feel that, you know, maybe some of the minorities and all still feel that they're left out. They should not feel that, because in America, if you have a skill, you can sell it. You're wanted, you're needed. In America, we have to bring our jobs back so our people who have skills can use those skills to earn a living. Let's turn to Mark Andel, who's earning a living. And by the way, I always promote Mark's Made in America store because now he is doing a tremendous job making sure that the products you ordered are sent to you as quickly as possible. So please do check his site. Go to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Made in America store link. Mark Andel, tell us what you think.
How you doing, Mike, and all the guys? You know, great conversation. Mike, I was running a little late today because we've had our first bus of 2020 at the Made in America store. Today it was, they seat 56, they had 26 on it. Actually, it's the first bus to come to Western New York. We had representatives from Buffalo Visit Niagara come to see the first bus. Kind of crazy times, but that industry, boy, did it take a hit. And neat, 26 people, masked up, no handshaking, but we pulled it off. So that's a step, Mike, out of the 120 we lost. So different times for sure, but neat to see people there from Bradford, PA.
Great.
And Olean. So first time to come to Western New York, kind of odd, the only bus that comes in, but they did want to get some pictures. you know, great conversation. I did turn on the, you know, Democratic convention, watched a little of it last night. A lot of really old people representing really young people, you know. you know, different times, if the topic's going to be COVID, I do think our president should go right to the source of China and hold them accountable and responsible and bring that up. I think he's done the best job he could. But again, I've had so many positive things from our president, I just wish they were mentioned. Mike, I want to talk more on the Made in America movement. Very, very, very strong, guys. 1,000% growth on our site, madeinamericastore.com. Our store traffic at the ones open doubled. Even with the border closed at One Niagara Falls, we're still on the second floor, but we're getting more traffic probably for more like a, you know, Curtis, your area coming to Western New York because they can't go nowhere else. You know, so it's kind of interesting to see them sales double even with the border still closed. But a customs friend told me you can't get across the border, but you can fly into Toronto all you want, you know, and I always think that's a little crazy, some of these things that are made up, and that's the truth. But the Made in America movement, very, very strong. One of our number one problems, not only finding employees, that's worse than ever, but getting product. But I'm happy to say we called 30 of our top vendors. We have 500 vendors. 30 of them put us at the top of their list in the last 2 weeks. And said, gave us a lot of respect for what we're doing, and they're putting product out for us because our fear is not to have products for the fourth quarter. We might only get one shot at this. And a lot of the vendors gave us a lot of respect for the 10 years we put into the movement and put us up on the front line. And it was nice to see with some discounts and free freights and want to really represent us. So that was great to see. But getting products is number one battle. But these Made in America vendors are strong. And they are putting out products, which is great to see. You know, the demand is there. Unfortunately, they can't find the workers or get the workers back. So a lot of crazy things going on. But getting products, number one. We closed one mall store, one more, Curtis, but we are opening Micah, you know, we are opening up a strip plaza store in September. We're going to try to go back to the strip malls. And we believe people would rather be driving up in front of a store and going in and shopping and then leaving instead of trying to get to one of these malls with all the crazy stuff going on and having to walk to the center of a mall that's at 50%. Because, you know, this fall is going to be interesting. So we are on the move. A lot of great things with the movement. Like I said, it's never been stronger. Dependency on China is known. Everybody is starting to get educated, do their part, and research what they're buying. So that's great to see, guys. It took a pandemic, a China pandemic, to do it. But it is happening. So a lot of good stuff going on, but we've got to adjust every day here to make it through. The fallout of the pandemic is unbelievable, from the wood shortages, vehicle shortages to get the plows on. We can't sell plows if there's no vehicles. We would be in our eighth day of the Erie County Fair, second largest fair in the country, but there is no fair this year. So, Mike, we're trying to make up that $500,000 in sales loss also by having a little event at our own business and trying to drive people in for special prices. So we don't quit. You know, we keep going forward. But the movement's on, and we're adjusting to the times, Mike.
Well, Mark, let me tell you something. You are the king of enthusiasm, and I have to tell you, going into the strip malls is a wise idea because I support a lot of those small vendors in those malls, and I know a lot of other people do. And it's the convenience of being able to drive up, go in, get your products, and get out the door, get back into the car, rather than having to go through all the rigmarole that is now taking place in the malls itself.
You know, and we met an owner of a strip mall, and he came to me. He loves the movement. He loves what we're about, so he's been after me. And dealing with an owner, a private guy that owns a strip mall, is way different than these big corporate headquarters like Pyramid or Benderson in our area. Curtis, you may know, but they have no pulse. But dealing with an owner in this pandemic that wanted the Made in America store and brand to draw people in was awesome. Just a lot of good things on the movement side, but it is changing times. This is going to be a rough fall. My buddies that own the restaurants, Leah, that just came from Buffalo Visit Niagara to greet this first bus to Western New York and get pictures, she said people don't realize convention centers are closed and the loss, the economic loss of having the travel industry devastated.
It's going to be a very, very tough season.
Mark, can I ask you something on the bus you just had? I'm so happy to hear that. It's your first bus in many months, right?
I'm going to shake your hand. That's hard for me, Rich.
So on the bus, you had senior citizens, as always?
Yes.
There were, okay. Were they wearing
average demographic 70, I would say 60 to 90, Rich.
Okay, 60 to 90. Were they wearing hazmat suits?
No bubble suits I've seen.
No. So did they have like a Geiger counter? Like they were at the Chernobyl site the day after the reactor blew?
Now, wait a minute, Rich. Are you suggesting about hazmat suits? Do you think the two candidates for president should have hazmat suits during the debate?
When I say our side, I'm not talking about we gentlemen here, but let's just say some on the Republican side. Some of the dopes on our side who talk about how senior citizens aren't susceptible with COVID. Of course they are. Like in any illness, any outbreak, Mark, our seniors are susceptible.
Any flu or anything else, absolutely.
Right, we have to take care of them. We need to make sure, you know, precautions. There's nothing wrong with precautions, but I'm always quite intrigued to hear why some seniors. It's like the story I told last month, if you guys recall, where I was talking about the World War II veteran, where I met him and he said, "Oh, people younger than half my age are just hysterical out of their minds over everything." And I just think it's fascinating to hear, Mark, why some seniors are, of course they're concerned. I don't doubt the people on the bus you met are concerned. Obviously no one wants to acquire this virus, but they still decided to say, well, we're going to not hide under the covers or the crawl space or the attics or put the hurricane shutters up if you live here in Florida with me and Larkin. And they came out, Mark. Right? And they came out. The reason I'm really saying it all, Mark, is because I'm going to repeat this point. What kind of a press, Curtis, do we have that tells senior citizens 24/7, 365, that they're going to die? That's all the press tells our senior citizen population. You're going to die. You're going to die from COVID. You're going to leave your house, you're going to die from COVID. You're going to vote in person, you're going to die from COVID. You're going to go out to get the Reuben sandwich on the buy one, get one that you get every Wednesday, you're going to die from COVID. I mean, what kind of a press does that, Mark?
We're telling everybody that. Not just seniors.
You know, I have to tell you this. I'm pleading with people. It's getting to the last minute in some states. Some states it's early voting, but in many states it's 30 days in advance. There is a register to vote link right on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. It's for every city, state, county. If you're not registered, we want to know what the real feeling of the American people is. What are they really thinking? Are they thinking this way or are they thinking that way? The only way we're going to find that out is on Election Day. And the day after Election Day, we then have to move forward. Because this is in my conversations with most people, they say, Michael, you're absolutely right. We cannot blame China's communist government for going out and attracting businesses to come to China to have their products made. But we can blame America's politicians for not helping to make America the best place to do business. Do you agree with that,
absolutely,
Curtis?
Yeah, absolutely. American businesses are complicit in this, and American politicians are especially complicit. Now, if you look at the record and you go back, it's all there. You have to dig it out of the congressional record and some of the other sources. Going back as far as the 1950s, it was the deliberate policy of the United States government to encourage businesses to move out of the U.S.
That's correct.
It was the deliberate policy, a policy choice, a deliberate choice was made that we would merge our economy with that of the rest of the world to facilitate the operations of multinational companies, even though that meant taking jobs out of America and locating factories in other parts of the world. So our politicians are to blame for this. It's quite simple. I'd like to just add a couple things in response to something that
Mark said, to what, pardon me, Rich said, and to Larkin. Number one, Kamala Harris, do not underestimate her. I think she's going to be very formidable. She speaks tonight at the convention, the fake convention, the whatever you want to call it, the infomercial. She has improved. She's very ambitious. We know that. She's very ambitious, and she's being coached. Somebody who's ambitious wants to learn. I know someone who works with some of the top Hollywood actors and actresses. They are always, well, now that they're not working, but prior to this, even the best actors, names you've heard of and know, they would go for coaching before their next movie or their next stage play or their next appearance. They're always learning. I always want to refine and get better. Kamala Harris falls into that category. She's very ambitious. She's willing to learn. She's ready to learn. And you can be sure she has the best coaches the Democratic Party can buy around her. I've worked with politicians. A lot of them feel they know everything already and they can't be taught anything. That's not Harris. So the other thing is she does evoke strong emotions. I find her very offensive. I don't like her, but that's better than being bored by her. So she's got a lot of the qualities that we dare not underestimate her. So I think that's going to be important. And then just one thing that Rich said, I wrote about this last week. 24/7, we're told this virus is going to kill you, we're going to die. 24/7, for 4 years, we've been told that President Trump is a threat to democracy, illegitimate, a Russian agent planted there by Russia. He's worse than Hitler. He's a Nazi, a fascist, a white supremacist, KKK, worse than Hitler. Yet at the same time, so now look, if I believe that, if I believe he's worse than Hitler, I should be willing to do anything to get this guy out of office, anything. You know, we stormed the beaches of Normandy and faced machine gun fire to get Hitler out of office, to turn back that threat. Walk through the snows at Valley Forge to protect our way of life. I should be willing to do anything, but yet I'm told that if I can't cast a ballot, if I can't lick a stamp and put it on an envelope, I'm being asked to do too much to get worse than Hitler out of office. I mean, it's just, there's some kind of disconnect there.
Yeah, you know, you're right. You know, people ask me, are you going to vote by mail? I say, no. It's been my tradition since I registered to never miss an election, and I will be there if I have to wait 2 hours in line to cast my ballot. I mean, I don't understand. I see people waiting in line to go into various stores.
Right.
Why can't they? There's no problem getting into Walmart, Kmart, whatever is out there. There's no problem getting into any of these stores. What would be the problem to keep the voting places that were there traditionally for years, that people who only come out twice every 2 years or something like that, so they know where to go? I don't understand why the panic. If they all have to be there in hazmat suits to welcome the voters, let it be done.
And the other side of that is, if you actually believe this guy is worse than Hitler, you would be willing, and should be, you would have a moral duty to cheat, to do election fraud, to commit murder. I mean, my gosh. And that's the scary part. I'm not suggesting that anyone do that. Please don't misunderstand me. But on a cognitive, logical level, it just doesn't add up. You're telling us this guy's a Russian agent, a traitor, treason. We know what the penalty for treason is. He's stolen the last election, ready to steal the next one, to put in a fascist dictatorship. But then at the same point, there is no such thing as election fraud. No one would steal an election. No one would cast a false ballot. No one would misrepresent the number of ballots that are received somewhere. If you actually believed everything they've been telling you, you would have a moral duty to do all of the things they're saying never happen and can't happen. So it just doesn't add up.
No,
the whole thing's phony.
Yeah, you know, I think
my father used to always, Election Day was a huge day. There was no school. The bars were closed until 5 o'clock. Everybody had a moral obligation. You know, I've said this a million times. Every right in this country has a corresponding duty, and you have a duty to vote. And to we used to see old Maura Murphy, Mrs. Murphy, would walk the 2 blocks to the precinct and stand in line and chat with everybody, the kids and everybody. It's one chance that we got to see her. I mean, I don't understand this. All of a sudden, we've become such wimps that we can't even stand outside and cast a vote. It makes absolutely no sense to me. And my father used to say, he took us all the time and showed us how it worked and made us wait in line. And we got the ruby ring knuckle at the back of the head for stepping out of line and running around in circles. But it was all part of the act of voting. A very, very important activity in any community. Not now.
Well, the most important thing that could happen in the next couple of weeks is people decide, I will go out and vote. Instead of putting the ballot in the mail, decide, I will go out and vote. No matter how you vote, I can't tell anybody how to vote. I will go out and vote, and I hope that everyone goes out and votes so we really know what the future feelings of the people are. There's a lot of things that have been going on in this country that concern me. I feel that we all have to work together so the good times that we cherished for years and years and years will return sooner than we ever imagined. We need to get this back. You know, all of us are working so hard to promote the greatness of Americans, American workers, and our businesses, support our businesses. Why can't the news media and why can't our politicians do that? The backstabbing and face slapping and all, it's not needed. It's simply not needed. It's not going to take us anywhere. First of all, I would like to say a thank you to Rich Logis, Larkin Conley, Mark Andel, Curtis Ellis, our engineer Henry Chaplinsky, and to all of you that are going to spread the good news about voting, spread the good news about supporting American workers. I know things will change in the future and they'll get back to some level of normalcy. Be part of that activity to go out and support our local businesses, support American workers, so everybody is back to where they should be. Thank you all for joining our broadcast today. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11 here on 860 AM, I want to wish you and yours the very best. May God bless you and yours, and may God bless America. Thank you all.
Have a great week, guys.
Thanks, everyone.